I'm so emotional right now. I can't preach. I can't. Boy, God's good, isn't he? Debbie sang that song, "But God." I started drinking when I was 14 years old. By the time I was 18, I was almost an alcoholic. I used to close bars out every night. And I'd walk out of this bar called AD Bar at 2:30 most of the time. A lot of times I wouldn't, they'd let me stay till the morning. We'd take it right in the daylight. But I used to walk out of the bars. By the way, I'd prepared a message out of Jeremiah, but God just told me not to preach it. So I'm just going to, whatever God, we're going to have a short message today.
Give your heart, please.
That's what I'm going to do. Because he told me not.
Gotcha.
I grew up as a kid that had a good mom and dad, but they never took me to church. They weren't Christians. I got to lead my mom to Christ later and stuff like that, but. I grew up on a street called Galena Street. It was filled with bars, drug addicts, prostitutes. It was a real bad street, and that's where I grew up on. And I used to walk by. I was a juvenile delinquent. Thank you, Jack. Boy, you guys are so thoughtful. Boy, you shook me up in 20 years. I'm supposed to be preaching like crazy right now. Let me tell you, teach you preacher something. if you got prepared something, but if God tells you not to do it, you just trust God no matter what. I've got all kinds of messages here. I've got tons of stuff I can preach, but unless God's in it, you can't do. I'll do more just stuttering like this than I would with trying to do something that I think that God wanted me to preach earlier. You young people, you listen to me. I'm lucky. I'm a lucky man. I'm lucky because, number one, I got saved. It's a miracle I got saved because I never went to church. I lived a wild life. I think the only reason I did get saved because I honored my mom and dad, and I always believed there was a God. And I remember as a teenager, boy, you get older, you think back, boy, I wish I would have did my life different. You ought to learn all you can now.
Yes. Amen.
You ought to learn all you can now.
Yep.
Did you know my high school year, I missed 53 days? Still graduated, I was lucky. I remember walking across the platform and got my diploma from Woodward High School. And my counselor, who I knew real well, Mr. Watts, he said, "Skyler, you made it." And I didn't know D if he meant you made it because you showed up, or you made it because you didn't think I could pass the grades. Probably both. I started drinking real heavy. Started running with the wrong crowds. Boy, it makes a difference what crowds you run with. And I used to walk out every night at the bars. You know, I hope you kids, with purpose in your heart, never to drink one drop of alcohol.
Amen.
Never to drink one drop of alcohol. Well, I wish I could say that. I'd never drank one drop of alcohol. You young people, you could say that because you haven't done it yet.
Right.
I used to walk out every night at the bar at 2:30. There was a little gas station right across the street called Pure Gas. They used to have gas called Pure, P-U-R-E, Pure. That's the name. And the guy that ran it was named Andy. And everybody used to park in this gas station at night. I used to walk across at night, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I look up in the sky and I'd say, God, there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more to life than this. Because I was so lonely.
Yep.
And down deep in my heart, I knew there was something wrong. Because no matter what I did to be happy, I wasn't happy. And by the way, until you get Christ in your heart, no matter, I don't care. That's why you see all these millionaires that are, they try everything and they still don't have happiness. Happiness is not in money. Happiness is not in things. Joy is in Christ. You want to have peace? Get the Prince of Peace. And I remember, that's why she sang, "But God." I used to, every night, cry out, "Oh God, there's got to be more to life than this." And one day I met Rosie. It was in the daytime. I wasn't in the bar. Can you believe that? And at the end of Galena Street, there was a little fountain shop, little gift shop, and it was called Edith's Sweet Shop. And instead of drinking alcohol that day, I was in there drinking a Tutti Frutti. And that's, you kids don't know what a Tutti Frutti is, but it used to be in a real thin glass, and I don't even know what it was anymore. I think there was ginger ale and a bunch of stuff and a cherry. I remember there was a cherry in them, I know that. I remember Rosie came in, she had big curlers. Those real big, you know, like they wear in Mars. And I remember meeting her, and then she took the curlers out, and I said, "Hey, that curl's not that bad." And I ditched the girl I was with and started going by Rosie, and I said, "Get your pencil out. Here's my phone number. Here's my phone number." Because all the girls called me. Hard for you to believe that then, but I can show you pictures when Preacher was a good-looking kid. The Fonz. And she said, "I don't call boys." I said, "You don't understand. Everybody calls me. My mom's my answering service. Just give her, tell you who you are, and I'll eventually get to you." It's the kind of kid I was. That's the kind of kid I was. It's just I don't call boys. So you forget it. I'm not taking your number. I don't want it. Never met a girl like that. See, it matters who you run with. And I found out where she lived. And I started to go down there, and I met her mom and dad. And they said, "Well, if you want to see our daughter, you got to come to church." It's a miracle they let me see her. And I started going to church. And I remember going to that little Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. Probably about 35 people. Rosie's dad helped build the building. It's still there today. It's called Faith Bible Baptist now. Rosie's dad was one of the deacons. think they had 6 deacons there. And I think they had 15 guys and 6 of them were deacons. They were the ones that actually built the church and signed for it. And that's how they did things back then, didn't they, Sister Cochran? Different back then, wasn't it? I remember starting going around. I walked in with my black leather coat. $300. It was a real one. Back then, that's a lot of money. And I looked around. Eddie, I said, all these people are different. I mean, you talking about sticking out, man. I thought, wow. But you know what? None of those people made fun of me. They made me feel welcome. Amen. They cared about me.
Amen.
And I started going to a couple services with her. One night the preacher preached, and he could see I was, everything he said, I said, well, he's not talking about anybody here. It's just he's preaching at me. How many ever felt when, the preacher, he said, boy, who told him? I swear to you, a lot of times you people go, who told you, preacher? Who told on me? No one tells me. I just say, God, tell me. And usually, by the way, Arlene, if I preach and you say, man, you got me, usually it's something I've done and God spanked me, so I said, I'm going to tell you about what God got me on. Because we're all the same. We're all the same. And I remember he came to me after church and he said, would you like me to have me come in his office? His name was Frank Milton. He's in heaven now. And I made a profession of faith. And I did it. I knew I needed something. I knew I was different, that they were different than I needed. I knew that what those people had, I knew I needed. I needed what they had. Because I tried the world, and the world couldn't. It's a miracle I was still alive. I know what it is to drive around cars at 120 miles an hour and being out and being drunk at the same time and get the car up, not skidding out, and almost lucky I didn't go on embankments. I know about all kinds of stuff. I know about gang fights. I know about all that stuff. I've been there. I know about people. See, you don't need to miss those bars because there's nothing to miss but evil and sorrow.
Yes.
You see, I've had guys pull guns on me this close, Andy. I've had guys point guns and point ready to shoot me this close. I've had kids pull knives on me. I know all about that stuff. I've been there. By the way, I'm so glad God let me live.
Amen. Amen.
Yep.
I know all about barroom fights. I know about all that stuff. I've been there. And I remember going in the preacher's office and he had me cornered. That's why a lot of people like to belong to the round church. Where you keep the corner. And I made a confession. I said a prayer, Jesus save me. And everybody was happy that the kid on Galena Street got saved. But I really didn't. I got religion, but I didn't get saved.
Right.
He meant well. He didn't want me to die and go to hell. And then I started dating Rosie, and then we got engaged, and then we got married. And then a few months after we were married, one night I was reading the Bible, and I got under conviction that I was lost and going to hell. I read my Bible all the time. It's supposed to be saved. Are you listening to the preacher?
Uh-oh.
And for the first time, Brother Leo, my whole life, I saw myself a lost sinner going to hell. And by the way, until you see yourself as a lost sinner going to hell, you can't get saved.
That's right. No, that's
because you got to get lost before you get saved. And I remember getting down on my knees for an old green couch. Me and Rosie first got married. I had a good job, but we didn't have a lot of money. And we bought everything we used. We didn't go out and charge things. We bought a used bed. We bought this and that. They had showers for us. And people brought in dishes and all kinds of stuff. Of course, the girls, they had their little... You grow before you get married, you have a, what do you girls do? You have bright enough, but you can't even when you're kids. You have like a whole chest. And yeah, so Rosie had all kinds of little knickknacks and junk, you know, and stuff like that. And I mean, we were telling the kids last night, because it's so exciting, there's only 1 year married. I was telling Jordan, I was only 158 pounds, 160 pounds when I married Rosie, and I got pictures to prove it. I was 158 pounds, believe it or not. I know you don't believe it, but I was. One time I was only one person. And Rosie was like 97 pounds. Just two young kids, and we rented out our first, we had an apartment, we rented out a duplex. We lived there for about 6 months, but one night there, a couple months after we were married, I realized I was a lost sinner. For the first time, I came 5 rows back. I was that guy that I literally heard God speak to me, "You're lost, you're going to hell." Yes. And the choir was singing, "Just as I am." And boy, I got down on my knees for this old green couch. Only paid $110 for the couch, the lamps, the tables, the chairs. I found my whole living room for $110. That was a pretty good buy. And the couch was like Libby Jewell's dress. That's about the color of that couch. It was similar to that. And it was like a green. Of course, everything was avocado. Everything was, back when the preacher was young, everything was avocado. Avocado this, avocado that. I got avocado sage, okay? But I started to cry. I got down and I said, "Dear Jesus, please save my soul. Please forgive me of all my sins and come in my heart and save me." Boy, he saved me.
Amen.
Oh, I didn't have this plan. I know God must be. I'm going to give you my life story. So I went back to church, but I didn't tell anybody I got saved. Because everybody thought I was saved, and I didn't want to. People, wow, you're supposed to be saved. You see, the devil tell you, they'll make fun of you.
Right.
And so because I was really saved, I need to be baptized. Because that first baptism was no good. Because
right.
I wasn't really saved.
Right.
But I didn't want to tell people because I was embarrassed to tell people. I mean, what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And then, later, I dropped out of church because I started running from God. They came back and brought me back in. And I remember them. No, I'm going ahead of myself. I got saved when I was 20 years old. 1 year later, on my birthday, March 22nd, my mom was in the service. It was a Wednesday night. And one of the lay preachers, I think it was Joe Hucker or Ken Steiner. Joe Hucker preached that night. Brother Milton was out of town. And I remember I'd been talking to Brother Milton about Pastor Milton. I think God's called me to preach. And I remember that Wednesday night on my birthday, 21 years old. Probably about 20 people there on a Wednesday night. You gave an invitation, I came forward. And I was crying. And I told Brother Halcott, I said, I don't have an education because I messed up. I was too worried about messing around instead of learning. I have no abilities. I can't speak. But I really think God wants me to preach. Because I can't. I want to tell everybody about Jesus. I just can't keep it in. These guys, the old lady preachers got around me and they started crying, pray over me, and they said, "Folks, something wonderful's happened to Brother Sky. God's called him to preach." And I remember the other day, I was 21 years old. I surrendered to preach. I'm 61 years old now. I've been preaching for 40 years.
Amen.
40 years. There was about an 8 month. Then soon after I surrendered to preach, really, I got afraid. Because when Brother Milton came back, he said, "Hey, I heard you surrendered to preach. I want you to preach this coming Sunday night." And I, okay. And I got up and I preached for like 15 or 20 minutes. Don't you wish I'd be like that now? I don't even know when I preached the first sermon. But I was scared, couldn't eat, stomach all tied up. And then every time they had me preach, he left, and Brother Jones came to be the pastor, and Brother Jones. By the way, I did get baptized afterwards. I can't remember, but I did get baptized after I really got saved. But I get so uptight every time I had to preach. I get so uptight. And you talk about David, Tammy, Rosie. By the way, David Shannon's going to have an anniversary. Is it tomorrow?
It was Friday.
Friday? Is it like back Friday?
Last Friday.
Okay. Happy anniversary, kids. I know you gave your present on Wednesday, but I get uptight. I get real mean. And, "Don't get around me. Get around me. Don't get around me." And I remember great man of God, Brother Jake Manning. He was a church planner. Planted churches all through America, down in the Cincinnati area. I talked to him. He said, "Brother Rich, I used to have that same problem. So you just got to get down and ask God to take it away from you. Trust him." And he did. I remember the first time I taught Sunday school. I talked for 15 minutes. And then I told people to read the rest of the hour, read your Bible. Let me say this to you. And I just kept studying. Then I went up to Toledo Bible College. Dr. John Brooke. My dad died. My mom needed some things. And we bought the old house that I grew up in off my mom. Matter of fact, I put about $4,000 or $5,000 in it. Then we had to have people come out and appraise it. And then we paid my mom what it was appraised for after we fixed it up. We fixed it up before we had it appraised, so I could give her money. And then I started living in the old neighborhood that I grew up in. And I started going back down to Galena Street. And I was seeing those people I used to run with. And I remember telling Rosie, I'd come home and I'd be crying. I'd say, "Rosie, someone's got to care about these people.
Yeah.
They're just like me. They're just like me. I'm glad someone cared about me."
David.
I said, as long as we got to pray, that God will send a preacher here. Never thinking about me. It's amazing, I always think about somebody else's new job.
Yeah.
And I think, God, please send a preacher down here. God, Northern needs a preacher. Oh, God, please send. Lord, please, Lord, I care about the people. Send someone to help them. Finally, it dawned on me.
Hello.
I said, Rosie, God wants me to start a church. I remember when, after I first got saved, I told Rosie, and I had been called to preach at Bobby, and I said, but I used to always love this song, I still love it to this day, called The Lighthouse.
Amen.
If it wasn't for The Lighthouse. And I told Rosie, I said, boy, I'm not a preacher, but if I was a preacher, and if I had started a church, I know what I call the name of the church. I call it Lighthouse Baptist. And boy, I was that guy on that sea with all the storm. I'm so glad God's light brought me in.
Amen.
To save Harvard.
Amen.
Because I should have perished out in the ocean of sin. I remember when we went to Liberty Baptist for 3 years and ran the bus routes. Did everything. Oh, God was preparing our life. And all the time I kept hearing about North End, North End. I went to Brother O'Brien. I won't keep it too much longer. I went to Brother O'Brien, the pastor of Liberty Baptist, and I said, I really believe God wants me to start a church in North Toledo. Yeah. And then he brought me in with all the deacons, and they said, are you sure? Folks, the big churches, the Emmanuel Baptist Church, that bring a couple thousand, all big churches in Toledo, they tried to plant churches in North Toledo. None of them succeeded, not one. I'm talking about big churches that had quality people with lots of money.
Wow.
And I remember the deacon said, okay, we'll pray about this. Are you sure? And finally, I said, yes, I am sure. And they sent me out. I remember I had $5, Eddie. $5. So I had to my day, $5. We started Lighthouse Baptist Missionaries. Liberty Baptist sent me out. That was my sending church. By the way, that's how you got to have a sending church.
Amen. Right? Amen.
And we started Lighthouse Baptist Missionaries before we organized the mission. And we started with $5. And they said, I said, how much do you have to have to start a checking account for the church? She said, well, at least $5. I said, that's what I got, $5. And that's how we started, John, with $5. And I kept looking for a place to put a church. One day I was in the store at Erie Food Market buying some food. And the owner said, hey, I heard you want to do something for God. I said, yeah, I want to start a church. He said, well, did you know that building's open across the street? No. He said, yeah, that little factory's closed down. It's vacant now. I walked across the street and I said, hello, I'm Reverend Skyler. By the way, I did not like that name. But I was a 20 young kid then, didn't know no better. And I wanted to impress people. I walked in like I was a big shot and said, I'm going to start a church and I want to kind of look at your property and see if I want to rent it. He said, come on in! The whole building wasn't as big as this whole half here. And I remember saying, probably my uncle Bill, we could see about 75 people in the auditorium. Well, it was just a room. But it had a bathroom in the middle. It had a bathroom in the back. I said, there we go. It's got to be for God. The boys and the girls. I remember starting a church. I remember starting the church, and We started on December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, 1980. There were 6 bars down there. And a lot of tough people, just like me, that didn't know God. Didn't take anybody from anybody's church. A fellow gave me an old piano that came out of a bar. It was bright orange. And we painted over it. I found a bucket of gray paint. And I painted the floor with whatever paint I had left. We had no curtains on the window. One window that was there. We had no curtains. In the first service, we had 22 people there in Sunday school. That was Sunday school. The next, the Sunday morning service, we had 26 people. Yeah. And I asked a couple ladies that came, I said, why did you come to this church? And we passed out flyers, you know, 2 weeks ahead of time, saying there's a church starting.
Yeah.
Then the first service, 26 people, the very first service. That's unheard of. On Galena Street! I'm talking about where fires and prostitutes and gangs and motorcycles. Folks, I don't get flustered with the motorcycle people. I used to be with them. I am one of them. Was. And I said, why'd you come? And they said, we prayed 6 months ago if God would ever put a church on Galena. We come.
Amen.
Both of them got saved.
Amen.
Their children got saved. For 6 straight months. Not one. For 6 months. Sunday morning, Sunday night. And maybe even Wednesday, I'm not sure. We had a visitor in every single sir, I mean, a first time visitor in every single service. In the first six weeks, we had 66 people. I started in December on Easter, I don't know if it came in March or April that year, but on that first Easter there, after we started, folks, it's just a little storefront with one door, and you had a little sanctuary, like a little room, and you had like a little room that divided it, that we put the nursery in. And I took all the people, and Rosie took the kids. But on that first Easter, I'd been there about 4 months ago, 144 people showed up.
Amen. Wow.
And people brought chairs and lounge chairs and kitchen chairs. And we opened the doors, like we opened those doors like back there. Open that door for me, would you, Big Wayne? Just pretend like that's the door that left. And right out there were big, right there, when you open that door, that would be Galena Street. Right there, that red thing, that would be Galena Street where our window is. And people put chairs all up and down Galena Street while I preached.
Amen.
A kid that had no education. A kid that should have been dead in hell. A kid that was an alcoholic by the time he was 18 years old. And God saved me and called me to preach His holy word.
Amen.
And in almost 9 years of pastoring that church, over 1,000 people trusted Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
Don't tell me God can't do miracles. He did it down in Galena Street.
Amen.
And by the way, they're preaching down there today.
Yep.
That's right. That church is 30 years ago I started that church. It's still preaching today.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you something. You can do anything if God tells you to do it.
That's right.
I said earlier to you, I knew God called me to Bethel. But before I came to Bethel, I knew God called me to Galena. be true and every man a liar. And even the good Christians that sent me out from that one church, they said to me, if it don't work out, come back. We really like you being here. The most important thing you can do in your life is just do God's will.
That's right.
David talked about it earlier. I never knew that David would come and be saved as a little boy. Is anyone here 11 years old? How old's your boy, Bill? The Greek boy, how old is
him?
14. 14. How about the little girl?
She just turned 9.
She just turned 9, okay. Well, Brother David, just a little bit younger than him, a little taller than her. And he came, Joe and Cindy, that's their nephew, by Mark, within a few months after I started the church, we grew so much, I loved it. The barber shop closed next to it, so we rented that out for a Sunday school class. The guy living above in the apartment upstairs, he couldn't stand us singing Amazing Grace when he goes down the ground every morning at 10 o'clock in Sunday school. He left. So we rented that out. Now, I don't know if he got saved in the lower part or the upper part. Upper part. Okay, you got saved in an apartment house then. It's so exciting. What I'm saying is this. You say God can never use my life. You say God can never. Listen, if he could use a guy like me, he can use you.
Amen.
You say, God, man, I can't do nothing. Listen, if I'm the last guy in the world that you would say that I can do something for God. And for 40 years, I've been preaching, and the world don't realize it. I'm a loser, but God let me preach.
Yeah.
I'm a winner through Jesus.
Amen.
Every bar on that street closed other than one.
Amen.
I was there almost 9 years.
Oh, that's great.
And every bar closed. But one.
Yes.
Did I walk in any evangelism? By the way, had I not been faithful though, if I'd have believed what people said, oh, you can't go to Galena Street because everybody else tried it. Jordan Lemo. He used to go to Brother Roger Green's church when he was down there in Miami, Ohio, or Dayton, Ohio, wherever, down there where Brother Green's church is. Middletown. Brother Green always told Jordan, I know your preacher. He built a church where it was impossible.
Yes.
See, because the Bible says there's nothing impossible with God.
Amen. That's right.
See, Rob, I don't have no talents. I'm not a real smart guy. And you can tell I can't speak very well. Did you know people used to come to my church west and on Glen Street that lived in North Toledo? Just did they see my name, Richard Skyler, on the sign, Pastor Richard Skyler? And they'd say, not that little hollyhock.
Yeah.
Can I say that word? I was a bad kid. Don't you say it. Maybe I'm not proper. I don't know. Got some things to say. They used to call and say, we know, it's, we see that name, Rich Skyver. Pastor. Would that be the son of Harvey and Margaret? Yes, ma'am, I'm their son. I'll be, I can't tell you.
Wow.
All kinds of them came and got saved.
Yeah.
Kids that I went to high school with because I was a hoodlum. Don't be like your grandpa. Be opposite of your grandpa when I was a kid. They couldn't believe it. I led all kinds of people to Christ.
Amen.
Allied Chemical. I ran with the, I was never a rough guy, but I ran with rough people. I ran with wild people. I always liked the thrills. and I wasn't afraid of too many things. And I was a miracle that I didn't get killed. But the meanest and the toughest guys would come to my church and get saved. It's amazing. It just shows you what God can do.
Yes.
With a piece of dirt. Because he's the great maker of it. Let me quote this. Let me quote and turn your Bible this night. I promise I'm going to close. Look at Romans chapter 5. Debbie sang this song. I preached it. She wrote this song probably because of my life. And I brought a message on this verse here. Look at Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 6, 7, and 8. And I promise I close. It's already 10 after. I hope I didn't bore you this morning. By the way, I'm so glad David got saved at 11 years old. And I never saw him till later, till we moved to Ravenna. But God was preparing him for you for years. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting what God can do? It's a miracle. And I was hard on David when he came here. Because I wanted to prepare him to take work. When the old man went to heaven, I want great men to preach, great men to stand.
Amen.
Yes. And I've thought about it. I'm not planning on retiring right now, but when I do retire, you know what I want to do with my life, the remainder of my life when I can't no longer pastor, I'm hoping I can be with a bunch of young preachers. And I could just put a lot of spit and fire. You know, I used to grab you and shake you and stuff. Remember, I get that every time. I can do that to my preachers. I can do that to them because I can get away with them. Because they're preachers.
Yeah.
I can spit in their face, my bad brother, and just rip them off. Because we're going to need, if the Lord don't come back, we're going to need a lot more kids like him.
Amen.
Okay. We're going to have guys with convictions.
That's right.
Look at the scripture, I'll close. Tommy's got Romans 5. How can you take this long and not even preach a message? That's amazing, isn't it amazing? Romans 5, verse 6. How many got Romans 5, 6? For when we were without strength, let me see that. For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the God. Is that what it says there?
Yes.
Then verse 7 says, for scarcely for a righteous man, is that what it says there? Yeah. Read it for me, Mark. 7.
For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die.
Yeah. And then verse 8. Was that all 7, right?
Yes.
But then it says in verse 8, and it's all, you can quote that verse, but God commanded his love towards us in that while he had sinners. Christ died for us.
Amen.
Now, four things real quickly that you were before you got saved. Verse 6, you were without strength and you were ungodly. How many see that?
Amen.
In verse 8, you were what? A sinner. How many see that? And in verse 9 and 10, it says we were enemies of Christ. How many see that? Four things we were, Billy, before we got saved. We were ungodly, we were without strength, we were sinners, and we're enemies of God. Watch them, hold on. Everybody knows Romans 5:8. It's such a great verse, and it is. But Jeff, people lose the what makes 5:8 so great is the greatness of verse 7. I had Mark read verse 7. Read, stand up and read it, and listen to what verse 7 says.
For scarcely for a righteous man will one die.
Wait a minute. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. What does the Bible say? There's none righteous, no, not one. Go ahead.
Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die.
Yeah. For a righteous man, maybe you might find something, I doubt it. But for just a good person, and by the way, there's none good, no, not one.
Right.
Read that last one.
Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die.
Well, it's not even think. Thank you. It's not even thinkable that for someone who died for a good person. But by the way, we're not good.
That's right.
And we're not. So,
In verse 7, it's telling you, Mike, the whole human race was doomed. Because is there anybody righteous?
No.
So who would die for you?
No.
Is there anybody that's good?
No.
So who's going to die for you? Nobody. Nobody. See, when no one would, and when no one could, see, that's what's so great about the death, as she wrote the song that she sang earlier. See, God saying, hey, you down there that are without strength because you can't save yourself. Hey, you that are ungodly, you're going to hell, pal. Hey, you think you deserve heaven? Listen, there ain't no one's going to die for you because you're not even righteous. Pre-eventually, somebody would tell her anyway that it's for a righteous person. And they wouldn't even think about that for a good person because there's nothing good to know how to walk. So the whole human race stands before God Almighty in verse 7. Doomed, damned, forever sealed to go to hell. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And then God opens up the windows of heaven and pushes back 5 and 6 and 5 and 7. And 5:8 comes down, ready. But God,
amen.
Even though you were ungodly, but God, even though you were without strength, but God, even though you were a sinner, but God, even though you're an enemy, but God, when no one would, but God, no one, when no one could, Jesus, but God, commit this love towards us, in the very next sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Man, that's how much he loves you, because no one would, and no one could, but he stepped up like the choir sang, love. Calvary, there was love.
Yeah.
And God stepped out of heaven and said, I love you. I'll say this. When we were, I'll quit with this. I'm trying. It's my 20th anniversary. When we were little kids, we used to get our kids, our grandkids, and say, our kids, how much do you love me? This much. I love you this much.
Oh yeah.
That's how much I love you this much. And see, when Jesus came down from heaven, he told the world, you want to know how much I love you? My Calvary.
Amen. Yes.
Yes.
I love you this much.
Yeah.
Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. Oh God, thank you for loving us when we're so unlovely. Thank you, Father, for caring when no one else would care. And thank you for dying when no one else would or could die for us. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed today, maybe you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. I want to tell you right now, Christ loves you and he died for you. He loves you so much. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ, you never saw yourself a lost sinner going to hell, you're going to go to hell without Christ. But you, by simply just saying, Christ, come into my heart, save me, he'll save you from hell and take you to heaven when you die. How many say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I'd sure like no pray for him. Who'd say, just raise your hand. Let me see it, right? Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Just raise your hand. I won't come, you won't embarrass you, but I pray for you. Anyone like that say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, and I don't want to go to hell. Preacher, pray for me. I don't want to go to hell. I'm not sure. But I'd sure like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Maybe you're a Christian, and you'd say, preacher, lately, I've been discouraged. And I've really felt like quitting lately. But I want to tell God today I'm not going to quit. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. I'm not going to quit. Dr. Howes, I put a poem that Rod Black gave me by Dr. Howes. Don't quit. I put it downstairs so people could read it. And the school is going to start pretty soon. And I wanted the kids from the school to read it. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. I was going to preach a message about don't quitting. I'm glad I didn't quit. Maybe today you ought to just get on your knees today and say, God, thank you for saving my soul. God, use my life. You might be thinking, well, he couldn't use my life. Well, he used mine. If he used mine, he can sure use yours. Father, help us today. Oh, God, help us, Father, to draw close to you and use our lives, Father. Please use our lives for the glory of God, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. What page you on, Mark? 1st people are praying. You want to come? Come now. Come now. We're going to close. Come now. Come now.